You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and hey, if you know anything about Wisconsin, you know that Wisconsin has been at the center of the fight for democracy, reproductive rights, and fair representation for the past 3 years. We flipped our Supreme Court to a liberal majority in 2023 when we elected Janet, say it with me, Protasiewicz, and then we defended it in 2025 with Susan Crawford, breaking an all-time national spending record of over $100 million and beating back Elon Musk's $22 million investment in his attempt to buy our courts, which, do you remember that when he put the cheese head on? We all knew it was going to go bad at that point. Some of us knew before that. But now we have a chance to expand that majority from 4-3 to 5-2, ensuring protection for our rights through the end of this decade. My guest today is Judge Chris Taylor. She is a Court of Appeals judge. She's a former state representative. She is an attorney. She's the candidate who can make this happen. And we're going to talk about her journey from Planned Parenthood advocate to the bench, why once again a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin matters, even though the court's majority isn't at stake like it was before, and what makes running for a judicial seat different than any other political campaign. It's unique, it's fun, and it's Chris, who's amazing. Welcome, Chris Taylor.
Thank you so much for having me, Kristen. I'm so looking forward to speaking with you.
I'm excited about this for a lot of reasons. I mean, we've known each other for a long time, but this is really, there are a lot of questions. The Supreme Court races in Wisconsin have been in the news for the past 3 years. It's confusing, it's political, it's a lot. And we're gonna talk about your career arc from being the public policy director at Planned Parenthood, which is when we first met way back in the day. It's been like decades. We've known each other for decades.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Right. How do we still look so good?
I was going to say, how do you still look so
good? If you're not watching on YouTube, you probably should be right now. But let's go back to where this all started. You came to Wisconsin for law school, and then you never left.
Never left.
How did you get stuck here? What made you stay?
Well, Kristen, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here. My grandfather, his family is from Fond du Lac.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Me and too. We might be related.
I know. Maybe we are. So I have deep, deep roots in the Midwest. My dad, eventually my grandfather got to Illinois. That's where my dad was born and raised. But I grew up in California. And I ended up coming to Wisconsin for school in 1991. I did have family here, so it wasn't completely a new place for me. And I fell in love with Wisconsin. I loved the warmth, people were so friendly. The state is so beautiful. There were so many outdoor activities. I could ride my bike everywhere. And I just fell in love with it. And really, I've been here pretty much since then. I had a brief stint out in DC and then back in Los Angeles for about a year. But for the most part, I've been here. But my journey really starts, you know, before law school. And it really starts with me as a small child realizing that I had a passion for standing up against injustice, mm-hmm. whether that was the kid being bullied on the playground or someone being treated unfairly. It just bothered me when people were not treated well. And I learned from my own family, from my maternal grandmother, who I was very close with, that the law can be a tool to actually help people and lift them up. She, my grandmother, was a single mom to my mom for most of my mom's life and really struggled to make ends meet until she got a union job. Mm. And that union job enabled her to earn a fair wage and to support her three kids. And she helped them all go to college. They all became public school teachers. And I really realized through my grandmother's story that the law can be used to lift people up and improve their lives. And I don't think anything's more important, or it wasn't, it's never been to me. That has been my passion. And that's where I realized from a young age I would go to law school, though there are no lawyers in my family. And I don't think my family really like lawyers that much, but that's where I found my passion.
It comes from inside. And I should mention your website, your campaign website is Chris for Justice. There's no coincidence there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. This is a campaign about justice, and it's a campaign for the people of the state of Wisconsin who deserve justice.
That's right. Now, you didn't start in elected office. You started at Planned Parenthood, which isn't surprising. There's a big justice component to that job. Tell us about how you went from all the behind-the-scenes advocacy at Planned Parenthood to deciding to run for elected office when you ran for state assembly.
Sure. Well, I actually, my legal career started before Planned Parenthood. I was in private practice for a number of years after I graduated from law school, both in Milwaukee and in Madison. And I represented normal people, average people who are having legal problems, a lot of family law issues, employment issues. And so that's really where I learned that I loved being in court and I learned to litigate cases. Mm-hmm. And so I started there and got a lot of great experience. And then this incredible job came open to be the law and policy director for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. I had volunteered in college for Planned Parenthood to make sure that patients got safely into the Planned Parenthood in the college town where I went to school. And so I was very familiar with Planned Parenthood, and I thought that the work that they did in making sure healthcare is affordable and accessible was so important for women and families. So I got to go there and work on all kinds of really important policies and got to do some work on some pending legal cases. But one of the things that I worked on that is still the law in the state of Wisconsin was a bill called the Compassionate Care for Rape Victims Bill. And that bill, that law now ensures that sexual assault victims, when they go to an emergency room to get help, that they will be told about emergency contraception to prevent pregnancy, and they will be given emergency contraception if they request it.
And to be very clear, emergency contraception prevents pregnancy in that case. I think it's important to, as the doctor, I have to say that because there's a lot of confusion about that. When you, that was an incredible achievement and so important for the women. There are so many sexual assaults that we don't hear about, obviously, across the state, across the country. It's incredibly important for women in Wisconsin. When you were with Planned Parenthood, did you lobby? Were you also a lobbyist?
I did a lot of different things. I did a lot of legal analysis. We got involved in a case where a pharmacist had refused to dispense birth control.
Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
And I ended up writing what's called a friend of the court brief on that case. So we did get involved in that. But I did, yes, I did work in the legislature as well. That was a piece of what I did. That could be tough going at the time, but it was very important to do. And there were, a lot of legislators that supported the work that Planned Parenthood did. Another really important bill that I worked on was the Prescription Protection Act. That is still the law as well in the state of Wisconsin, where women now cannot be refused their birth control when they go into a pharmacy. There has to be an option available to timely dispense their birth control prescriptions to them.
It's insane that we have to have a law that people can get the prescription that they were written that they need for their health care. But that is the world that we live in right now. I should mention I'm talking with Chris Taylor. She is a judge. She is running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Chris, when you were working at Planned Parenthood, what was the most frustrating pushback that you encountered, and how has it shaped your approach to issues now that you're seeing things from a totally different perspective as a judge?
Yeah, I think one of the most frustrating parts was this lack of understanding that Planned Parenthood really was providing health care to women. Planned Parenthood was providing annual exams and breast exams that were saving women's life. And we had patients come in where it was Planned Parenthood that did the pap smear that ultimately detected cancer, uterine cancer, cervical cancer. So I focused a lot on that was the role that Planned Parenthood was playing. And there is nobody else to fill in that role.
For so many women.
Yeah, for many, many women. If you are low income and you are on badger care or you're on some other type of care, oftentimes for many, many women, Planned Parenthood is the only option. And so that was something I learned and something that I talked a lot about, because access to affordable health care is still really hard for people in the state of Wisconsin, and I fear it's getting harder.
Oh, it's absolutely getting harder. I think there's no question about that with the Medicaid cuts that we've seen and failure to accept Medicaid expansion in the state. I think the horizon looks scary for so many people. And you've done so much for healthcare, for women's healthcare in Wisconsin, but for all of our healthcare. But now you're taking that policy information and you are translating it to your work as a judge who interprets the law. How do you make that transition?
Right. Well, you know, it was not so difficult. I mean, I went from practicing law to Planned Parenthood. I was in the legislature for 9 years. And I will tell you, being in the legislature has made me a better judge in so many ways. I think first, I never forget that the decisions that I make impact real people. And I saw, as a legislator, having so much contact with the public every day and going all around the state of Wisconsin, I was on the Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Committee. So I went all over the state. I probably knocked more doors in Barron County than Dane County, by far. So I really felt like I learned so much, but I think, you know, the things that Wisconsin families struggle with really are very similar, regardless of where you are. Families struggle with, right now, affordability, making sure they have a job that provides a decent wage so they can have a place to live and provide for their families. But I never forget as a judge that there are people impacted by my decisions, and that is what I learned as a legislator.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's not that big of a gap after all.
In some ways, no.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that. But first, we have to take a quick break. So when we come back, let's talk about what makes this particular Wisconsin Supreme Court race different from the barn burners we saw in 2023 and 25, and why it still matters enormously. I'm here with Judge Chris Taylor, and you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm talking with Judge Chris Taylor about her campaign for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Chris, let's talk about the context of this race. In 2023, Janet Protasiewicz won and flipped the court to a 4-3 liberal majority for the first time in 15 years. That race cost over $50 million, the most expensive Supreme Court race in the country's history. And then 2 years later, Susan Crawford defended that majority against Brad Schimmel, and that race cost more than twice that, more than $100 million. But your race is different because this time the majority isn't at stake. Help people understand what is at stake here.
Sure. So that's correct, Kristen. There is a 4-3, I call pro-democracy majority, in that I do believe we have a majority that's going to protect our rights and our freedoms and our government. However, we have, with my, including my race, 5 state Supreme Court races coming up. So that majority can flip on a dime, and no one should feel comfortable, because we have had so many important decisions come out of the state Supreme Court by one vote. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the challenge, there were challenges to our 2020 election. The state Supreme Court, in an attempt to overturn our 2020 election, despite the fact there was no evidence of fraud or wrongdoing, despite that, that effort to overturn our 2020 election was rejected by our state Supreme Court by one vote, right? Just one. Then you think about our legislative maps. Some called our legislative maps, prior to them being overturned by the state Supreme Court, the most gerrymandered maps in the history of our state. The state Supreme Court overturned those maps, finding them to be unconstitutional. I agree with that decision. I value every Wisconsinite's right to pick their elected representatives, not the other way around. And that's not that, you know, George Washington thought the same thing. So that was also a very important decision. And then fast forward to last term, where our state Supreme Court struck down an 1849 abortion ban that, if implemented, would have effectively outlawed most every abortion in the state of Wisconsin. And that also was struck down by our state Supreme Court by one vote. So the Supreme Court, that majority can turn quickly. These decisions are very, very narrow. And I want to also let everyone know that the person I'm running against is probably not going to be with these decisions that the state Supreme Court has recently decided. She has spent her life not protecting people's rights, but taking them away. She represented and defended some of the most harmful aspects of Governor Scott Walker's agenda, including the maps that some call the most gerrymandered in our history, including voting restrictions, including restrictions on reproductive health care. She was backed in her last court election by the individuals who tried to overturn our 2020 election. Mm-hmm. She recently said that the overturning of Roe versus Wade was very wise, and that she would have voted to implement the 1849 abortion ban. So there couldn't be a starker contrast between us. And it should be worrisome to individuals that this is the individual who is vying to be on our Wisconsin Supreme Court at such a critical time, when our rights are at risk, when our democracy at risk, and when our state is at risk from this overreach that we are seeing from the federal government. So it has never been more critical to have a person who has my history, my background, my commitment to the people of this state in defending our rights and freedoms, our government, and our state.
I definitely want to get into some of those big issues like Act 10, like redistricting. But first, I want to ask you, a lot of people have been concerned about the level of politicization of our judicial races. And we all know, although we don't officially have Democrats and Republicans, we kind of know how people line up. Do you think we should just be honest about that? Or is it important to maintain this nonpartisan facade that judicial races, especially a Supreme Court race, is shrouded in?
You know, I think it's so important, Kristen, that the judiciary be independent. I saw when I was in the legislature the impact of having a state Supreme Court that was a rubber stamp for the legislature. I saw, you know, bills that passed that I thought had constitutional issues, but we didn't have a state Supreme Court that was going to hold the legislature accountable because they themselves were extraordinarily right-wing. And it's very dangerous to have a judiciary that is a rubber stamp for any political party. It has got to be independent. But I am passionate that the judiciary must stand up for people's rights and our Constitution, our democracy. That's what we must have courts do.
And maintain the nonpartisan atmosphere. Absolutely. All right, after the break, we are going to dig into issues, the cases that are going to be coming before the court, and what's at stake for Wisconsin and the rest of the country. I'm here with Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Judge Chris Taylor, and you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we are back with Judge Chris Taylor. She's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. If you've missed any part of our conversation, you can always catch it wherever you get your podcasts and, of course, on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. So, Chris, let's talk about what the Wisconsin Supreme Court will actually be deciding over the next 10 years, because this is a 10-year term. I mean, this is not like a shorty like when you were in the Assembly. This is a long time. What are you anticipating will be the most important cases on the court's docket in the years ahead?
Well, I think that one of the most important issues, whether this is translated in a case, I don't know. But one of the most important issues, I think, that our country is grappling with and our state is going to grapple with is to make sure that judicial orders are followed and respected by the other branches of government. One of the primary functions of the judiciary in our government, in our tricameral government, which is three branches, is to hold the other two branches of government accountable, the legislative branch and the executive branch, when they act unconstitutionally or unlawfully. We heard just this last week from a federal judge, the highest federal judge at the district court level in Minnesota, that they've had at least 100 orders that have not been followed by the executive. That is concerning. Our system of government depends on judges' orders being followed. Now, can they be challenged? Absolutely. There's mechanisms when you get a decision that you don't like, you can appeal that decision. What you can't do, though, is ignore a court order. So I am concerned. I think there's been a real attack on the judiciary, the independence of the judiciary. Judges have been investigated by the federal government just for making decisions, just for doing their jobs. And I think this is very, very concerning because our whole system of government, our democracy, is so dependent on the judiciary being an independent branch that holds the other branches of government accountable. And what that means is they must follow judicial orders. Nobody is exempt or above the law. And that is an extraordinarily important fundamental principle of our government.
It sure is. And you mentioned the tricameral balance that we should have, but it hasn't been in balance. We've seen a lot of executive branch overreach. And it's tricky in a state like Wisconsin because we're a swing state. We're a state that everybody is watching. We're a state where the 2020 election results were challenged. Is this a state? We've been pushing back. We've been using the law effectively here. Where do you see things ending up in the years to come? Because the court system isn't something that is a knee-jerk reaction, any sort of reflex. It's not a reflex. It is a long, thoughtful process, as you mentioned, with appeals and other options to make sure that we get it right. So where does Wisconsin's Supreme Court potentially stand when we're trying to balance this respect for federal authority with protecting Wisconsinites from federal overreach?
Well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is incredibly important because that is the last most powerful court in our state. And we have to make sure that our court system is holding everyone accountable when they break the law or act unconstitutionally. There's not an exemption for the most powerful, the most wealthy. There's no exemption. Everyone who's in the state of Wisconsin needs to follow our laws and our Constitution. And if they don't, then they must be held accountable. And the state Supreme Court is where that happens. So it's incredibly, incredibly important. The biggest question that I get asked as I go all around the state, it doesn't matter, a conservative, liberal, middle ground county, doesn't matter where I go. People want to know that our state is going to be safe and that their rights and privileges are going to be protected and that we won't see what has gone down in Minnesota here in Wisconsin. That is a real fear of people. And so there's an opportunity for individuals to express themselves in this election coming up. And my election is coming up fast, April 7th. If you care about democracy, if you care about rights, if you want to make sure that our state Supreme Court is a strong check on the overreach of the federal government, please come out and support my campaign. This is a campaign about democracy and justice for the people of the state of Wisconsin. It is critically important. We can make sure that our state is strong and our state is ready and our government is ready and our courts are ready to defend the people's rights and to protect our government and our independence as a state. We are not a rubber stamp for the federal government here in Wisconsin. And I am ready to do that.
You sure sound ready. And April 7th is right around the corner, folks. So if you are not registered to vote, if you have not made a plan, now is the time. I mean, we start literally voting in just a few weeks. So let's go. And not just for Wisconsinites, because you know we're in Chicago, we're in Atlanta, we're all across the country. Voting in 2026 is incredibly important. So now is the time. I want to switch gears and ask you about a very Wisconsin thing, Act 10, yeah. Scott Walker's law, our governor from 15 years ago, that gutted collective bargaining for public workers. A Dane County judge struck it down as unconstitutional. When you were in the assembly, you were vocally opposed to Act 10. Yeah. So when you handle cases like this, you know, this could very well come up when you are serving. How do you, when you had a political position on something in the past, but now you have to rule with impartiality, how do you balance that piece of it?
Sure. Well, I actually came into the legislature after Act 10 had been passed. I was elected in August of 2011. So I wasn't there for it, but I did oppose it. And how I deal with issues that I have spoken out on or I've practiced law in is how I deal in my role as a judge. I'm not an advocate. I am not an advocate for any particular position. And I can tell you, Kristen, I have been repeatedly surprised when you get into details of cases and you really do the legal research and the analysis, which I do every single day. You cannot always predict. In fact, often you cannot predict how a case is going to come out. And so I approach each case in the same way. Quite frankly, I want to make sure that I do justice for the people involved in the case, that I give due consideration for their positions, that I do heavy research on what the law is, and I then attempt with my colleagues, because we write in panel decisions, we write our decisions together in three-judge panels, we work together to try to craft the best result for the parties involved. So it really is not that difficult for me at this point. I've been a judge for 6 years, going on 6 years, to take myself out. I'm not an advocate, you know, anymore. I am an impartial judge, and my goal and my commitment is to the laws of the state, the constitution of the state, and to do justice for the people in front of me. It is not hard.
We started with justice, and now we're back to justice. And you are Chris for Justice. I'm talking with Chris Taylor.
It's all about justice.
It's all about justice. And she's a judge. She's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. I want to talk a little bit more about redistricting. We talked about it a little bit in the last segment. So we've got new legislative maps here in Wisconsin. We had probably the worst gerrymandered maps that the state has ever seen. In 2023, we got new state legislative maps, but there are, I think, two cases right now in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, in the Wisconsin courts, looking at the congressional maps.
Right.
Maybe we'll have new maps in 2028, but certainly we're going to have new maps after the 2030 census. We're really looking out to the future, but you are going to be potentially on the bench, hopefully on the bench at that point. How important is it to have fair-minded justices on the court for these redistricting cases?
Oh, it's just critical, honestly. It's critical, I think, in every case that we see, but it's particularly critical when we're dealing with people's ability to vote and to pick who represents them. As I made reference, this is so fundamental in the founding of this country. This is George Washington saying it's the people who elect their representatives. So there are a bunch of cases pending right now. There's two different congressional redistricting cases. They are in front of two different panels of circuit court judges who will do the fact-finding and have the hearings and take the evidence. And I do anticipate that those cases will probably get to the state Supreme Court at some point. And then, as you acknowledge, we have at the census, we will have reapportionment, but we also have another redistricting round in our state. And so, you know, it's incredibly important to have judges that can look at these cases and be fair, be impartial, and try to do justice for the people of the state of Wisconsin. I do get concerned when I look again at my opponent's record, who litigated in support of gerrymandered maps, who is someone who was supported in her last race by individuals trying to overturn our 2020 election. Is this a person that we're going to be able to count on to fairly evaluate these cases without this very extreme right-wing agenda that she has brought to the Court of Appeals? So that is a concern. I do not think that she is going to protect the people of this state and being fair when looking at these maps. So, you know, that is a real concern, but these critical decisions are all coming up, and we absolutely need judges on our state's highest court that are going to look at these issues critically, respect and honor the constitutional rights and the freedoms of the people of the state of Wisconsin. That's what I'm going to do.
I hear you saying over and over again, not explicitly, but I hear you saying that this is about the people. And you actually talk about your judicial philosophy being people-centered, What does that mean to you?
To me, what it means is that the people must be at the center of their government, not relegated to the periphery. And I think so often people don't feel like government is working for them. And I want, if people take one thing away from this podcast, I hope that they take away that I do care about them. I am very passionate about people having access to fairness and justice and being treated well and being the center of their government.
Chris for Justice. I'm talking with Judge Chris Taylor. She's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. We've covered a lot of important, serious ground. When we come back, let's get a little lighter. Can we talk a little bit about Chris Taylor as a person, the Wisconsin you love? You're going sure in the background. What keeps you sane and the human side of this race? All right, let's do that. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley here with Judge Chris Taylor. She's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court, and we've been talking about law and policy and all the stuff that's going on in the courts. Really heavy stuff. But let's talk a little bit about you, Chris. You mentioned earlier you're from California originally. You fell in love with Wisconsin. So I just have to ask the question, what's the best cheese?
Oh, I will say a fried cheese curd.
Ooh, so you're not going to go like Colby or cheddar or Limburger. You know, this is the only state where we make Limburger.
No, my absolute favorite thing would be a fried cheese curd.
Yeah, they're so good. I know.
It's just so good.
Here's another fun thing. We are fellow boy moms. I think your boys are like right in the same ballpark with my boys.
Yes. Yeah, so,
I have it.
A 19-year-old and a 15-year-old. If you have any advice for me about 15-year-old boys.
I see Abe, our producer, shaking his head. He also happens to be my oldest son. He has no advice.
Oh, my. Thank goodness for hockey season.
Right.
We are knee-deep in hockey season.
Do you think they have a clue what you're doing, or are they just so used to you that they think this is normal?
I don't think they're not used to this. They're not used to this. You know, I've been a judge now for 6 years, so I've never run in a statewide race like this before. So one is away at school, at college, and you know, my 15-year-old kind of most of the time it's a look of bewilderment about what are you doing. I think the big concern of my 15-year-old has been, do not talk about me. Do not share pictures of me. Do not mention my existence. So I am not mentioning his existence. That's why I have to talk about my dog. Because I can't talk about my children.
I get that, like, respect. I've got my second son, also very private person, just wants his space. Like, I get that. That is not how I am.
Yes.
But, you know, respect.
Yes.
All right, let's go to music, because rumor has it that you are a big music fan.
I am. I'm always singing. I'll tell you, I just listened to such an inspiring song by Pete Seeger.
Oh, you're going old school.
I'm going old school. It was a sing-along that he did back in the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. We Shall Overcome, and he... It's an incredible version, and my wonderful campaign assistant, Abigail, who drives me all over the state, and a lot of times I'm on the phone, but when I'm not on the phone, I am singing with her, and we have been singing Pete Seeger, We Shall Overcome. Check it out. It is will make you cry. It really will. It is so inspiring, and I want to be inspired, and I want you all to be inspired, that you can make a difference.
It is very true. I would be inspired if you did a car karaoke video of the two of you singing anything, really.
But we have that.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else would want to hear it, but we do have that. I might share that with you privately.
Privately. What about other music in Wisconsin? We've got so much music here. We've got Summerfest up here in the Green Bay Appleton area. We've got Mile of Music. Well, you know, because you're familiar with the Valley. We've got so many amazing artists. Who's your favorite, or what's your favorite venue in the area or music festival? It's going to be hard to pick.
So many. I love all the summer festivals. So there's a festival right near my house at Yahara Park, a riverfront festival, and bands come from all over the country to play. It's like in June every summer. It marks the beginning of summer. And then we have so many incredible festivals. We have a Willie Street Festival. We have a Fête des Marquettes Festival, mm-hmm. which is kind of a French themed. We have a Orton Park Festival. The music, the live music, and the excitement of the community and just being together mm-hmm. is just a joy, yeah. an absolute joy. So I love the music festivals here in Wisconsin.
It's kind of like a reflection of everything else that you do. The justice piece, the bringing people together, the fighting for people. It's all people-centered. It's all people-centered.
And I love being with people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a joy, an absolute joy, going around the state in this campaign. When I started this campaign, I lost my mom in October, so I was really a bit brokenhearted, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I did wonder, gosh, how am I gonna get through this campaign? I just lost my mom. And I gotta say, going around this state in so many different places and meeting people and talking to people and seeing what they're doing in their communities and their commitment to their communities and making their communities better has really healed my heart in a lot of ways. It has been amazing, absolutely amazing. So this campaign has been a joy for me.
It's wild how you look at a campaign and you think it's going to be so much work, and then it ends up actually being the best therapy.
Yeah. And it's the people. It's being with the people of Wisconsin.
It sure is. Judge Chris Taylor, thank you so much for taking the time out of your crazy schedule to join me today.
Thank you. I so enjoyed it.
For anybody who wants to support your campaign, where can they go to learn more or get involved?
Go to my website, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, 4-F-O-R, justice.com. Please join my campaign for justice. We need everybody.
We do. And we can follow you on the socials as well. And we will. Friends, that is the voice of Judge Chris Taylor, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The election is Tuesday, April 7th. Register, make your plan to vote. Early voting starts in March. Now is the time to get ready. If you missed any part of our conversation today, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts and check out the video version on YouTube. Many thanks to our wonderful team, Abraham Lyerly, our producer, technical advisor Nick Tierman, who also wrote the theme song, and Nathaniel Gonzalez, our graphic designer. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, reminding you to take care of yourself and each other. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.